Now, we've got a question that came in from, seeing we're talking about chooks, I've got a question that came in yesterday from one of our Farming Secrets members called Peter Butler. He said, could you ask Peter and Wendy about the Maremas, how they find them with kids? I've heard they're aggressive to strangers. Have you found this? I am very interested in this, in your setup, but don't want to limit the kids' paddock freedom. In other words, you want the kids to get around the paddocks. And so how do you find it? What's your answer to his question?
The dogs are fine with anybody that they know. So if the kids are part of the farm, and we find our dogs, or depending on how they're brought up. So it all comes down to, it doesn't matter what breed of dog you've got, it all depends on how they're brought up. So if they're brought up with enough human contact, the Maremas still have to know that their job is to look after whatever they've got to look after. But if they're brought up to know that, you know, humans are fine and brought up to be friendly with humans, that's fine. We find our dogs are not aggressive, but will bark at anybody they don't know, which is what we want them to do. But if anybody comes to the vans with us, then they're fine. They're perfect. They run straight up to them for a pat. So, our kids, sorry.
So when it comes to children like of a young age, maybe like 2, 3, well, it would be 2, but like 3 to 5, do you think the Maremas would still be, well, as you described, you can train them to respect even children at a very young age?
As long as they're introduced to the children in the right way, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't be. But it all depends how they're introduced and how often they see them and things like that. So, we had one little incident a little while ago where one of our neighbours, he's a bit of a joker and likes to bark at our dogs as he drives past, and he was actually cutting on our farm, cutting some hay for us, and thought he'd get out of the tractor to have a little nature call, and the dog knew exactly who he was and wouldn't let him out of the tractor. That was his fault because he barks at the dogs as he goes down the road every day. So we just laughed at him and said, well, that's your fault, because, you know, you antagonise the dogs every day when you go past, so why would they let you out?
Dogs have memories after all. Hello, Gerhard.
Yeah, they do.
How you going, Gerhard?
I'd like to introduce you, Gerhard. We had Wendy and Peter on the phone, and so Gerhard, you've got a dairy farm as well. We've just been talking about organics and the advance of going organic and a bit of diversification on the farm. And we talked about the chooks and the fact that they're growing goji berries and a bit of garlic in the future. Are you growing them already, Wendy and Peter, or just that's something in the future?
The goji berries are in, but they take 2 years to produce a crop. And the garlic, it'll be the first commercial planting we've planted this year. So we're about to plant now.
Plenty of work on you. We've got a lot to do in our property as well. We're much further behind, obviously, because we haven't been on the farm that long and there's been some challenging seasons as well. We had every intention of becoming certified organic as soon as we could, but with those challenging seasons was the issue of trying to get organic grain supply, and that literally dried up, I think, didn't it, Wendy?
Yeah, it's hard to get.
The last
we're
2 years,
hard to get.
Did you find it? Sorry?
It was very hard to get during the main drought up north.
Yeah. So we were in that position, so we chose not to even go down that path. It's still on our radar, but we'll be taking a bit more leisurely at this stage. And we're focusing, or Jordan is focusing on not just milking the small number of cows that we've got, but also the free-range pigs that becoming a significant part of the property. In fact, they were probably the reason that he chose to go into farming in the first place. And so we're revisiting that, and we're looking at doing some plantings of oaks and chestnuts and maybe even in the longer term doing some processing on the farm, but trying to link up with people who do processing in the old traditional ways to get the value from the quality of the meat that we're producing.
Yep.
Out there. Yeah.
Gerhard, ask Wendy and Peter the reasons for going organic, and what's your reason for going organic, and also ask Wendy and Peter the sort of steps you have to sort of take to go organic. So can you sort of explain, give a bit of a rundown of why you're going organic and the sort of steps you think you have to take, and how do you learn to take on those steps?
Well, there's a lot of reasons behind being organic, and a lot of people have different reasons for taking their step, or the main reason is that often it's the market that's good. For us, it wasn't so much, and there is consideration because you've got to go through the hoops for the first 3 years to actually get that certification, and then you can actually say, right, we're right. So that apprenticeship period is a very difficult one, which I'm sure Peter and Wendy would stand up and say, yep. But really, the motivation for us is to look at farming as it should be and not use band-aids to try and remedy situations, but go back to the basics and, or the fundamentals, and that's usually back in the soil. And to say, okay, there is a need for organic product out there, but there's also a need for us to nurture the land in a way that future generations can use it. And most conventional farms just don't fit that bill at all. They're really driven by economics. They're driven by getting volumes of produce and getting little for it, and therefore having to get bigger or get out, as the old saying goes. So we feel that with our 127 acres up there in the hills, it'll be a challenge, and that's where the diversification is important. But at the same time, that saying, well, if you can't make a living out of 127 acres, then there's something wrong with our whole view of agriculture in this country. And so organics actually does support that, and people are prepared to pay that extra, generally speaking, for organic produce. So the value system is what's important to us as well.
So if you're trying to make a profit at 127 acres, would that mean that your inputs are going to be lower, or is the price... aiming for a higher price on the produce?
Well, I mean, the hand was forced for us anyway, unlike the organic industry, which was able to maintain its price to its suppliers, to the dairy farmers that were supplying the milk that was going out there. The conventional market took a huge dip in the prices received, and therefore it forced our hand as well, like everyone else, in looking at ways of rationalising costs. Some of the things that we've been doing is we've already gone down the path since we took over the farm 3.5 years ago of reducing fertiliser costs, and what we did put on was totally different to what the conventional people would do in the NPKs, but we're thinking more holistically and getting biology working, as well as making sure that we can access the NPKs already in the soil. The other part of that is looking at saying, okay, grain prices have been... thankfully, they've come back down again, but in the years of the drought, you know, you're looking at $500 a tonne, that was just not sustainable economically, even with good milk prices, to maintain an economic equilibrium there. So Jordan's chosen to milk only once a day and also not feed any grain whatsoever. So, and that's a big step, as anyone would sort of agree in any dairying situation, whether it's organic or not. But to take that position that it has with it some risks, I guess, in the context that, you know, your production will decrease, but then say to the costs, and we get to do our figures on that, but I would suspect that economically we're going to be a little bit ahead compared to before. Plus, it also allows him more time to work with the pigs as well by only milking once a day. So, it's about making a call on effective use of time across the whole farm enterprise as well. And as there's only the one labour unit and me coming in there occasionally, it sort of needs to be fairly clear about how that operation is going to run and remain viable as well as sustainable.